The fourth Sunday of Easter. The first lesson is taken from Acts chapter 20. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and with tears and in the midst of severe testing by the plots of my Jewish opponents. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus. And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now I know that none of you among whom I have gone about preaching the kingdom will ever see me again. Therefore, I declare to you today that I am innocent of the blood of any of you, for I have not hesitated to proclaim to you the whole will of God. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I have never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have not coveted anyone's silver or gold or clothing. You yourselves know that these hands of mine have supplied my own needs and the needs of my companions. In everything I did, I showed you by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words the Lord Jesus himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Revelation chapter 7. After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." All the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen, praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders asked me, "These in white robes, who are they and where did they come from?" I answered, "Sir, you know." And he said, "These are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you do not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Once again, I greet you in the giving name of Jesus Christ this morning. Today is Mother's Day, and I want to ask God to bless all of our mothers and grandmothers and great-grandmothers, because mothers are a blessing from God. Mothers are blessed by God with the maternal love for their children. A love that wants to help them grow, a love that wants to provide for them, a love that wants to protect them at any cost. Of course, we all know that there's disruptions in that maternal bond on occasion between mother and child. Maybe because of death, maybe because of some other separation in which we no longer have that relationship with our mothers. And we also recognize that not all women are mothers. But we have to also recognize that we all had a mother at one time, for as long as our individual lives allowed. Even if that time with our mother was very brief, our mothers gave us something very special. Our mothers gave us a blessing too. Considering how human life is, considered by many segments of our society today, the fact that they gave us life is something that is a great gift. We're blessed to have human life, and we're blessed that our mothers had a part in giving us that life. And so we look to Jesus this morning as an example of how to honor our mothers for as long as we've known them. You see, Jesus modeled many things for us, one of which he showed us his love for his mother, Mary. If you read Holy Scripture in the Gospels, you'll see how Jesus loved his mother. I mean, for example, even as a teenager, you remember the time that he failed to go with the traveling entourage of his family back to Nazareth from Jerusalem. And they missed him, and they hunted for him for 3 days, and they found him in the temple courts. Well, after that time period, Luke tells us that then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. Of course, he knew that the one that he was most obedient to was his Father in heaven. And then was his first miracle when he first started his ministry. You know, he was at that wedding, and his mother kind of sort of asked him to get involved. And his first miracle was sort of at the prompting of his mother. Even though Jesus said he wasn't ready for people to know who he was, to really show his divinity by performing miracles, he kind of gave in to her, and he turned that wedding water into fine wine. And then at the end of his life, when he was on the cross, when he was dying, he made sure that his mother was taken care of by the Apostle John. John tells us in chapter 19, when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. An example of Jesus loving his mother, and how we need to honor our mothers if we're able to. Because we're blessed by our mothers in some way. There is some way that our, and probably more than many ways, that our mothers have blessed us. And therefore, we can be a blessing to other people. More importantly, we are blessed by God Himself so that we can give to other people and be a blessing to them. In our first lesson from Acts chapter 20, Paul, we see, was planning to depart, to go back to Jerusalem and not return to Ephesus. And so he gathered the Ephesian elders together and kind of saying farewell to them and encouraging them to continue to bless other people, continue to serve the Lord by helping other people. Even when he was gone, he wanted them to continue on the service that he had started. And he had been with them about over this three-year period. And he called on them to keep giving of their labor to other people, to the church. He said to them, "In everything I did, I showed you that by this kind of hard work, we must help the weak. Remembering the words of Jesus himself, it is more blessed to give than to receive." Now, kind of a side note here. If you go look that passage up where Jesus might have said that previously, it's not in there. At least I couldn't find it. It's one of those words or one of those phrases that we talked about last week where not everything is written down. But we can be assured that Jesus, in fact, did say that. Anyway, Paul was using himself as an example of being blessed so that the elders of Ephesus there would continue to bless the people that they were interacting with. And by giving here, he used the word, labor. You know, usually when we talk about giving, the first thing we think of is money, right? You know, what are we giving in tithes? What are we giving in offerings and so forth? Giving and blessing are much, much more than that. I'm talking about giving people love, giving people help, giving people care that they, you know, to the people that need our care. There's no greater giving to someone than giving them the path to eternal life by telling them about Jesus, telling them the good news about Jesus. That's a blessing we can all give to someone else. That's the labor that Paul was talking about. We have to understand that the term giving and the term blessing are gifts. Gifts that we can give. Gifts that we receive directly from God. Gifts that we can give to someone else. God is the ultimate giver. You remember a book that was very popular a couple years ago? It was called The Prayer of Jabez. Many of us probably heard about it and went out and purchased it and studied it a little bit. Anyway, the author of that book is by the name of Bruce Wilkinson, was meeting with a ministry person, and the ministry leader was trying to get Bruce to give him, you know, kind of ways, principles that he could use to grow his ministry. And he was asking Bruce all kinds of questions. And so at the end of the session, after Bruce had answered all of the leader's questions, Bruce decided, well, it's my turn to ask you some questions. And so he asked the leader, he said, "How many donors do you have?" Well, the leader kind of went silent, and he was going, you know, kind of trying to count up how many people were donating to his ministry. And it kind of took a while. And after a while, Bruce said, "It's sure taking you a long time." And the leader kind of apologized, and he says, you know, he just wanted to be as accurate as he possibly could because Bruce had asked him that question. He says, "I'm not sure. I need just a minute to think about it." And Bruce stopped him, and he said, "The mere fact that it's taking you this long means that you're not approaching this right." Well, the leader kind of was perplexed. He says, "What do you mean?" And Bruce said, "You only have one donor. Now, the one may work through many other people, but the only donor that matters is the one. The many just give the ministry what the one has given them. Your donors aren't your true source. God is. And that's something that we can all remember as we go throughout our life, that our only true source of everything good comes from God. How many times do we really consider that? How many times do we consider that everything we receive from God begins with Him? We are blessed by Him so that we can give and bless other people. Another way to look at it would be, we're to take what we receive from God as a blessing and give it so that other people will be blessed by what we receive. As I said, the mere fact that we're blessed with life means that we can somehow be a blessing to other people. The more we give away, the more blessing we'll receive, and the more we can give away. You see how that works? Because when we give, we open up the door to God's blessing so that He can bless us even more. It's kind of like a circle. The more we receive, the more we give, the more we receive, and the more we can give. If you think it from a family situation standpoint, parents want to teach their children to do good things for people, right? So when they do, what does a good parent do? Well, he or she praises the child. Maybe give them some sort of a reward. Maybe give them more responsibility so that they can do even more good things. Reinforce the child to want to do more. That way, the blessings are multiplied. Well, like all good parents, human parents, God wants to see His children be kind, be generous, be loving to other people. And when He finds us doing those things, He encourages us to do even more by blessing us as we do them. When He sees us honor Him because we realize that the blessings come from Him and we use them for the good of other people, He gives us even more. He does it with our abilities. He does it with our spiritual gifts. He does it with our finances. How many of you, and I know there are some of you, have been blessed because you've given away to other people? I mean, a good example of that is in Malachi chapter 3, when God was sort of accusing the Israelites of being stingy in their offerings to God so that He could help people who need the help. Malachi 3, it says, God told them at that time, He said, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in My house. Test Me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Don't we want that to happen? Yes. God doesn't depend on us to create whatever blessing He wants to give to other people. He's already given it to us. He wants to see if we will honor Him by using it for the good of someone else. And when we use it for His purposes, you know what happens? We experience a closeness with Him. A closeness that can only come from Him when we're generous and we're kind to other people. You know, look at that graphic that we have for today. That graphic reminds me of how we can give the love that God has given us to other people, right? But you see whose hands are underneath ours? God. Because He gives it to us to begin with. He supports us as we give. Our giving means that we recognize that He has given it to us from the very beginning. You know, there was a story about a small city that wanted to build a memorial to the people from that city who were killed in the Vietnam War. And they decided to send volunteers door to door to see if they could raise enough donations to build the memorial. Well, at one house, the volunteer that was there to talk about donations was talking to a husband and wife, and he mentioned that the people down the street from them had just donated $5,000 in memory of their son that was killed in action. Well, the wife kind of grabbed the husband's hands, and she said, "Let's give $5,000 too." Well, the husband said, "We don't have a son that was killed in the war." She looked at him and said, "Well, let's give because we didn't lose our son." Huh? You see, there are many, many blessings that God gives us that we may not even see. Kind of like, you know, when I gave that blank piece of paper to the children, they couldn't see that as a blessing. But when that was fleshed out a little bit more, they could see that it could be a blessing to someone else. Many times we don't recognize the blessings in our lives. Of course, the greatest blessing that we've ever been given is God Himself. God gave Himself to us on that cross. God gave us His grace through the death and resurrection of His Son Jesus. Now, we recognize that for ourselves, right? But do we recognize it as being able to be given away to someone else as a blessing? Do we recognize that it's even something we can give away? Of course. We can tell others about Jesus. We can tell others the good news of Jesus and how He did go to the cross and how He did take our sins away and how He did put our sins in that grave never to return and how He did rise from that grave and be able to give us eternal life with Him. We can tell people about that. That's what we received. And we can tell other people about it too. We can read Holy Scripture to them. If we do, we're not going to lose the blessing, right? We're sharing the blessing. We're multiplying the blessing. It's the same with God's love. It's the same with God's compassion. What, you know, I have to ask, and I ask myself too, what's stopping me from giving, from sharing blessings with other people? Is it the fear that we won't have enough? Is it the fear that we're going to lose it? Is it just complacency? Is it just indifference? We don't care? Is it greed and we want to keep everything for ourselves? I don't know. But whatever it is, it's not God-pleasing. You know, maybe it's the fear of rejection when we try to help someone else. Have you ever tried to help someone else and they shut you down? They didn't want it? Well, if you have, you're in good company. Because Jesus and Paul, again, are the good examples of that. I mean, in our lesson today, in our gospel lesson, Jesus knew that those religious leaders that He was talking to, for the most part, were going to reject how He was trying to help them. Did that stop Him? No. Paul was rejected and then punished so many times that he kept a list of it. Did that stop Him? No, it didn't, even up to His death. So that prompts me to ask, do we have a valid excuse for, you know, that keeps us from giving our blessings to other people? No, we don't. You see, the gifts that we've been given, whether we recognize them and understand them or we don't, they're not given to us just to comfort us. Yes, they do comfort us. They do give us security, okay? But they're also intended to be given away. They're intended to be multiplied. That's why God gave them to us, so that we can serve other people. You know, Paul talked about serving, this kind of service, when he wrote his second letter to the Corinthians. He said in chapter 9, he said, "This service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but it is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God." You see, when we do that, when we give our blessings, we're also thanking Him, right? Because we realize we're honoring Him. We realize that He gave it to us to begin with. Paul goes on. He says, "Because of the service by which you have proved yourselves, others will praise God for the obedience that accompanies your confession of the gospel of Christ and for your generosity in sharing with them and with everyone else." Not only are you thanking God, but the people that you give these blessings to thank God because of you. Multiplication. And then he says, "And in their prayers for your heart, in their prayers for you, their hearts will go out to you because of the surpassing grace God has given you." You see how it multiplies. You see how it expands. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to share our blessings. The goal is that in everything we do, that God be glorified. The band shares their musical talent with us and blesses us with it, right? Jesus shares and gives us His body and His blood and blesses us with it so that we can be a blessing to other people. God wants all of us to use what He has given us to expand His kingdom and share His word with other people. Remember what Paul said. He said, "If anyone is in Christ, you are a new creation." You are a new creation and you have been given a new heart. If you give clothing, let's say, to someone who needs clothing, who's cold. If you give a sandwich or something to eat to someone who is starving, it's like giving a piece of your new heart that you have been given through Jesus Christ. Just like our graphic shows. Amen? Amen.